Scotch Potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Nicholas Harum, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week, we're going to be talking about Last Stand with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Broken City and Mama, plus some DVD and Blu-ray reviews, a couple news stories, and that sort of thing. Of geek news, I guess you can say, that has come out for sequels, sort of sequels. We'll get to those. We might actually also touch on the Golden Globes. But before we do that, I just want to brush through the box office from last week. Before we actually do that, I just want to welcome Nicholas Harum to the show. Back to the show. You've been on the show before.
I have.
Kristen has the week off. We have to let people take vacations now and then. So
do you?
Well, I you could have made her, she's going to do it.
she could have telecommuted.
She let me know. I mean, at least she let me know. It's not like I tried calling her and she's like, oh, I'm in Barbados or anything like that. So we're bringing in Nick to come in and pinch hit for Kristen this week. She'll be back next week, don't worry, allegedly. But let's talk about what our box office was last week. And I said that Zero Dark Thirty was going to make Zero Dark 30 million. And Kristen thought Gangster Squad was going to make 26. Again, we weren't terribly accurate, but I picked the top movie. Zero Dark Thirty made $24 million, which is off by a couple million, but still it won the box office. Then A Haunted House beat Gangster Squad by $1 million,
which is pretty sad, really, for Gangster Squad.
Well, you were not a fan,
no,
if I recall. You did not like Gangster Squad.
I did not.
No, you didn't. So. Do you care to unload on Gangster Squad, since it's now like popular to dig on this movie since it came in third?
I've been saying it's going to be bad for months, and I just feel like I just won.
You won that little piece. Well, you know what? It's funny with you because you're a bit of a cynic, and you think that's fair. Is that fair to say? Yes or no?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I feel like most people think I'm much more cynical than I maybe think I am.
It's because you're so cynical. That's exactly why. But you had a great week because they announced that Die Hard 4 was going to be rated R. Or Die Hard 5, excuse me.
Yeah, it is 5 now.
Yeah.
Though I don't really consider 4 to really exist, since it's the PG-13 Die Hard, so that doesn't count.
You're like
eyes.
The family from the old world when like the kid like a, you know, comes out of the closet, like, you're dead to me! You're PG-13, you're dead to me.
Yeah, that's how I felt when I saw the movie was, yeah, it's dead to me.
So you had a good week, and then Gangster Squad came in third, so you were probably happy about that. But you weren't a big fan of Zero Dark Thirty either, if I recall.
I thought it was okay. It looked great. You know, it's a neat procedural, but as far as I didn't find it terribly riveting.
Okay. It wasn't torture, though, is what you're saying.
I didn't feel like I was being waterboarded by watching it, no.
I told Kristen last week I wanted to be waterboarded. I wanted to see what that's... I'm curious. And so I'm sure that someday she's going to just send people to my house.
Yeah, I'm sure if you put out like the right Craigslist ad, like, you know, bald man wanting to be waterboarded, I feel like you could probably get a lot of play on that.
Fat hairy man seeking same to waterboard me. I don't know. I might get some weird responses to that one. Anyways, the light without they shuffled up the order of the box office a little bit. You had Django coming in at number 4, and then Les Mis. There was kind of a horse race between them, and then The Hobbit at $9 million. And it's at, as of last weekend, it was $278 million domestically. I think it's still going to crack 300. It'll come in just north of 300, I think.
Well, and if I recall, with the regular Lord of the Rings movies, I feel like they did re-releases around Oscar time.
They may have.
So even if it doesn't make it on this initial push, is it getting any Oscar nominations at all?
Not. I don't think it. I mean, it got like some technical stuff, like makeup and that sort of stuff, but it didn't get like Best Picture or anything like that. But all of them came out right around Christmas, so I don't think there really was much of. They may have re-expanded them a little bit.
Yeah, they just sort of re-released them back towards that push towards Oscar nomination.
It's not
like, Oscar weekend. Those all sort of came back out and made a little bit of money. So
it's not like this weekend where they're re-releasing Beasts of the Southern Wild into some theaters, even though it's on DVD and Blu-ray. But that is being re-released. So, but yeah, it was The Hobbit. And The Hobbit's it's pushing 900 million worldwide. It's made over 600 million domestic internationally. So it should be $1 billion by the end of its run. Pretty simple. Lincoln jumped up a little bit, actually had an increase, and Texas Chainsaw plummeted. which is not a big surprise. Cause
no, it's not a big surprise. It's actually sort of bad, though. Unfortunate, I guess.
It's a typical. I mean, this is what happened with the Friday the 13th remake. A lot of times these franchise horror films, and even like The Devil Inside, which was the first horror film from last year, that one dropped considerably.
Oh, yeah. I think it had almost an 80% drop, I feel like.
I think 82 was the number I saw. And then Silver Linings Playbook jumped into the top 10 eventually, finally, with 5 million, with a 41 million cume. But that is the box office, so we'll get your pick, because you can pick for Kristen, and then she'll be stuck with that number. Anyways, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr, and this week we've got Nicholas Harum joining us as a guest. And if you want to reach us via email, you can send us an email at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. You can visit us on the web at fatguysatthemovies.com and go to Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. You can reach me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr. You can reach Kristen on Twitter when she gets back from vacation at KDK Reviews. What's your Twitter handle there?
It is at movieshateu, the letter U, dot.
Dot? Not... There's no dots
wow,
in this.
There's no dots there. At movieshateu, the letter U, 2, T-O-O.
Yeah, you didn't want to do the number. Number two, because everyone thought that movies hated the band U2.
Yeah, I think we discussed that back in June, maybe.
I like to rehash all my jokes, just because that's how
rehash or hashtag all your jokes.
I'll rehash the hashtag of all my jokes. Anyways, let's hit some real quick news here, because there's not a whole lot to these news stories, but I wanted to kind of highlight them, the big things this week, aside from the Die Hard R rating that's going to be...
Which is like the best news of 2013
totally
so
made you, yeah, totally made you pull a Roker. But anyways, there was the announcement that Jurassic Park 4 will be out next summer in 2014. That is it. There's no other news around Jurassic Park. You could search Jurassic Park 4 on Google, and you will get thousands of web pages and hits, and they have no information on it, because it just says, we're going to make it. And I think they announced the writers, but they didn't.
And I feel like they've made this announcement before. You know, there was talk, like, when Pirates of the Caribbean got big, that Keira Knightley was going to star in Jurassic Park 4. It wasn't like there was, like, some... Like, they've announced this before and it's gone away.
Well, they announced a release date. They said, we're doing it. And this, usually when they announce a release date, that especially... what surprises me is that it's completely unformed right now. And its release date is already... Like 18 months from now.
Yeah, and that's sometimes not a real good indicator of a good movie to come, is that they have this release date set in stone, and now they're just working towards this release date.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's, you know, a fully developed idea that comes to term, who knows?
Well, and what I think is interesting is, the last time I remember this happening, a lot of people grumbled about, was Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I think that had a quick release date. From when it was actually said, we're doing it, and this is going to be doing it. Turned out to be a great movie. I don't know if that's the case for Jurassic. It just put dinosaurs in it and make it awesome, and just a lot of people getting eaten and stepped on, and get Jeff Goldblum in it, and I'll be happy.
I don't know if I need Jeff Goldblum.
If you're
going to have Jeff Goldblum, I want Sam Neill back as well.
You know, this world could use more Jeff Goldblum, and it could use more cowbell, and that's... Those are the two things that I think any Jurassic Park movie can
really use. I think Richard Attenborough is the one we really need back, and him in more of an adventurous role.
I was going to say we could have Conrad Bain in it, but he's dead. He died this week. RIP. Rest in peace, Conrad Bain. Go watch Chomps on Netflix to enjoy that. We actually are running out of time here. We need to go to talk about... We're going to play the trailer for Broken City, and then when we come back after the break, we'll do a real quick... review of it, because there's not a whole lot to say about this movie. I mean, there weren't screenings for us, and it looks kind of terrible. Anyways, Broken City, a former cop starts investigating the wife of the mayor of a major city to discover a conspiracy. Oh me or my, here comes Mark Wahlberg and Russell Crowe.
And Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, what's that all about?
You have an envelope of photographs that I paid for.
When you called, I didn't think it'd be for something like this.
I think you're about to see the big picture. This is what you do now, Billy. You set up executions.
I gave him pictures and walked away.
This is not what you think it is.
You ever think why I chose you? Because I own you.
We got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Broken City. back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We left out on the trailer of Broken City. Real quick, what are your thoughts on Broken City? There's not a whole lot to say about this, I don't think.
It pretty much looks like your standard January drama, sort of action-y drama movie with Mark Wahlberg. We had Contraband last January, and this year we get Broken City.
Before we started recording, you mentioned you said that thing about, well, it looks like Contraband. And I'm like, this doesn't sound like Contraband. If you read the blurb of it, you know, the whole New York cop and mayor, and that's, it doesn't seem, but then I watched the trailer, it looks exactly like Contraband.
I feel like not like the plot-wise, I'm not expecting Contraband, but tone-wise. Yeah.
It looks like he left the smuggling world, became a cop, and then was investigating.
Like, he's still going to be going around the city beating people and, you know, getting into crazy Mark Wahlberg-esque problems. Just, there's not going to be, like, some weird painting involved in this one, maybe.
What surprised me was Catherine Zeta-Jones, what is up with her career? Because she won a freaking Oscar, like, 10 years ago. And then she like, had kids. Well, she'd had kids, and then she won the Oscar for Chicago, and then didn't she like suddenly get depression or something like that? And
I think she suddenly got Michael Douglas.
No, she had Michael Douglas.
Maybe Michael Douglas like chained her up. I don't know.
It was that she actually had depression, but now she's back and she's like in the worst movies ever. And you're like, if there's a time to be depressed, now is the time to be depressed.
Yeah, where's Entrapment 2? You know.
Entrapment 2 with her and Sean Connery, a geriatric Sean Connery with his liver spots.
Well, and you're almost to a geriatric Catherine Zeta-Jones now. You know?
She's like 42 or 3.
Well, she's not 42. Come on.
Sure she is.
Really?
She's not that old. How old do you think she is?
I was thinking she was pushing 50, not that 50's old.
Yeah, no.
Well, then it just makes Entrapment so much more creepy now, because if that was like 1999, so if it's been 14 years since that, Connery was old then.
She was like 30 when she did Entrapment. I mean, I don't even know because she's 20 years younger than Michael Douglas or whatever. Hold on, I'm looking it up. I'm going to the internet, the indefiable source of all entertainment and information.
You know, and I had my tablet already opened IMDb. I guess I could have been looking.
She's 43. I was exactly right. She's 43. Pretty sure she looks good 42. For 43. She looked good when she was. She looked good, and she always looks good, except when she's in crappy movies like Rock of Ages. Anyways, Broken City gets a preemptive suck because, yeah, if we have to explain that to you. You don't deserve to know. Let's talk about the next film. The Last Stand. Arnold Schwarzenegger returns to the big screen as a small town sheriff trying to stop an escaped drug dealer from reaching Mexico.
We've got a cartel with heavy firepower headed towards the border. And there's a strong chance they're coming your way.
I've seen enough blood and death. I know what's coming. I'm not gonna let that guy come through our town without a fight.
Very nice.
How are you, Sheriff?
Old.
All right, you first. I want to hear what you have to say. I already know because we saw the movie together.
Mm-hmm. We traveled many miles to go see The Last Stand. Not at like 189 miles an hour like the cartel member or whatever from the movie.
I don't think my car could get to 89 miles an hour, let alone.
I don't know. You push it.
I do. I drive fast. Anyways, what'd you think of The Last Stand?
I actually really liked it.
Okay.
Honestly, I thought it was a lot of fun and a good return to form. You know, think like you said. Think more mid-80s Arnold, less late 90s Arnold, which is a very good thing.
Well, I remember, and we talked about this on the ride home, so we're sort of, you know, we have to let the audience in on this, but I look at Arnold Schwarzenegger's makes kind of three different, in his career, he's made three different types of movies. He's done the big, huge blockbusters like Terminator 2 and
True Lies.
True Lies. These big, huge movies. Total Recall, Last Action Hero. Well, that was meant to be that. It didn't do very well.
It was meant to be the movie of 1993.
Yeah. So he did those, and he did family comedies like Junior and Kindergarten Cop and all that grouping. And Twins, I think, also kind of fits into that, even though it's not a kid's movie.
Don't forget Jingle All the Way.
I like Jingle All the Way.
I know you do.
And then there's the sort of early action movie. So, like, when he came on strong after doing, like, Conan and The Terminator, he did a series of these, and I wouldn't say modestly budget action movies. But they were smaller. They weren't enormous action movies. They weren't meant to be $200 million grossing movies. And that stuff like Raw Deal and Commando and Red Heat, those he made in the mid-80s. And then it was when he did the 1-2 punch of Total Recall and Terminator 2 that just propelled him to that super, super stardom where every movie he was in had to be the biggest movie of the year or it was a big failure. And this kind of goes back to that pre-Total Recall stage. This was something that would fall in line with Red Heat or Commando or Raw Deal. I liked that. I thought that worked because it wasn't trying to be bigger than it was. It has the fun explosion. It's a little bit rocky. It's rough to get through that first half.
I enjoyed the first half more than you did.
Really?
It didn't bother me as much.
It wasn't necessarily slow moving. I had somebody ask if it was slow moving. I'm like, it's not exactly slow moving. It's just, I didn't think it was. I knew they were going. So I'm just like, get to the big fight at the end, because that's why I'm here. And they get there, and it's great.
I think it takes a while for Arnold and the film's villain, or even the sub-villain, to actually meet up and do anything. There's a lot of, if you want to say, story to get to that point.
If you want to characterize it as what could only be described as story.
But there's not really a lot of story in this. No. You know, it's a very simple, simple movie.
Yeah.
But it does take a lot of time to get to that point to where it's like, okay, well, we have Arnold facing off with actual bad guys.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the other thing is, you're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Nicholas Harum. One of the other things with it being this sort of January release, I think it works. I think it works as a January release. Whereas if it were like a June release, it would be disappointing. And I said to you once, I think we went to go see Dread. We saw all the trailers ahead of time. And I said, one of the most terrifying words that anyone can see on a cinema screen is this January. Because it's usually crap that comes out.
Well, if you think of, you know, we were just talking about Die Hard a few minutes ago. Think about Die Hard's release date. You know, these used to be summer movies. Mm-hmm. And now it's sort of moving in. You know, Arnold moved to January. Bruce Willis is moving to February.
Oh, you've got Bullet in the Head with
Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone, yeah.
You know, which was directed by the guy, Walter Hill, who did Red Heat.
Yeah.
So we have all these sort of, we're moving it away from the main competition of summer to sort of give these movies room to breathe.
Yeah, these franchise movies are huge. It's sort of like when they released Hostel, and this is a different genre, it was horror, but when they released Hostel 2, like on June 8th, and it was like going up against like the typical summer movies, and you're like, who wants to see torture porn at that point? You know, people, there's a reason Hostel did extremely well as like the first release in January. So January works for some movies, but other movies, it's like Broken City looks, when it says this January, you're like, oh, it's one of those movies.
Yeah. And then with Gangster Squad last week, and Gangster Squad is a January release.
It went from,
but before that it was a September release. So it's like you move from, oh, we're trying to sort of find a place for you, and then we're going to move you, and
you move from one
sewer. Now we're going to move you to this other crappy release date.
From one sewer to another. Anyways, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk Ma. And welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies. This is Kevin Carr here with Nicholas Harum. Kristen Dreyer Kramer is on vacation this week. We hope she is rested and fulfilled, so when she comes back, she can deal with my shenanigans for next week's episode.
Yes, fulfilled.
I don't know what that meant. Just,
I don't know what you meant by
that
either. Let's just move on.
That suddenly got extremely creepy here in the magical studio in the sky. Now we're going to talk. Well, first of all, what was your favorite Arnold movie? We were talking about The Last Stand with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's really hard.
And
that was awkward too. Yeah. I love Predator, but you know, there's always Conan the Barbarian, and then there's Terminator and Terminator 2.
Yeah.
There's just so many.
You mean,
but Predator probably, if I just had to pick one Arnold movie to put myself on a desert island with, it'd probably be Predator.
I don't know. Would you have a DVD player to watch it?
No. I would just have the disc, and I would, you know, it would be my Wilson.
You talk to it. You draw a little face on it. You draw, like, scratch the eyes out for Arnold Schwarzenegger on the cover of the... Well, what if you ended up with the Blu-ray that doesn't have his face on the cover of it? The overly DNR'd Blu-ray.
I thought that one did have his face on it.
No, it's the
oh, yeah.
It's the Predator's mask.
Got you. I was...
I don't know how to
react. I wouldn't take that version with me.
Okay. See, we all have to have standards.
I do. I don't own it.
All right. Well, let's talk about, incidentally, one of my favorite, I love the Terminator movies. I love the first Terminator. It's probably my favorite of the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. And then Terminator 2 is not as, I don't think is as good, but I do. I like the whole Terminator series with the exception of Salvation. And I know you don't like Terminator 3.
I do not dislike Terminator 3.
Okay.
I think it's overly silly at times, but I don't think it's a bad movie. By any means, I enjoy it.
Okay.
I think it's overly silly, which Kevin equates to, I don't like it.
Oh, okay.
Which is not true.
It's not like me disliking Alien 3, which I truly dislike.
No, I think you're nuts on that.
Well, that's okay. You're allowed
to. Though I'll say the regular cut of Alien 3 is not very good, but I like the pseudo director's cut, I think is very good.
Yeah. Well, that's okay.
I recommend it for this weekend. Go watch Alien 3, the pseudo director's
cut. Oh, please don't. Anyways, let's talk about the next movie, and that is Mama. Two missing young girls are uncovered and sent to live with their uncle, only to reveal a supernatural influence to them.
I'd like you to tell me about Mama.
No.
That's gonna happen to me.
You can't do that.
I think someone's coming to visit them.
Darn it, what's under the bed?
A ghost is an emotion bent out of shape, condemned to repeat itself time and time again.
Mama, stop it! You promised!
This is another one that was not screened locally. We actually had an opportunity to see it, but it was on the... It conflicted... There were three screenings of all three movies at the exact same time this week. I don't know what the publicist had in mind for this one.
Were they all from the same publicist too?
Yeah.
That was just an error.
All in the same office. They literally could have looked over and been like, "Hey, can we do this on Wednesday?" But no, they did. And they've done that before where they've booked them on the same day, but cuz I went up last year and I had to go to Cleveland. And I saw they showed like Red Tails and then Haywire. And so I was able to go up and see, although they screened Red Tails locally, they didn't screen Haywire locally, but I was able to see both. That was kind of nice. I went up and I had a double feature. And I've had that happen. They once showed, I think, something like Night and Day and the A-Team on the same day or something like that. So that was nice. This time, I don't know what was going on. But we didn't get to see it. I'm curious to see Mama. I'm not a fan of Jessica Chastain. And it does, though, feel like this would have been what she should have made before she became famous, you know, or like right after. This is not what you release if you've been famous for 2 years and had a career the way she.
Yeah, like two straight years of Oscar nominations do not equate to I'm doing Mama.
Yeah,
especially with a name like Mama, I feel like this is like the Mama family movie, the Mama's Family, the movie.
You know,
when I first think Mama, I don't think. Oscar-nominated actress Jessica Chastain
as Thelma
in
Harper.
Mama's Family. You know, something's not right about it.
I keep thinking of Mama from Dread. I don't think I don't think there's any danger of people confusing that because like nobody saw Dread.
They should see Dread.
Dread's not bad. What's funny is I looked up the box office because it came out on DVD or Blu-ray like last week. And I went, and I'm like, that has to be an error. That had to have been what it made. When I saw what it made, which was like $13 million, I'm like, well, that had to have been opening weekend or so. No, it like made like $7 million. It made no money. And it was such low money that I actually thought that it was its opening weekend.
Money. Yeah, it's too bad because Dread actually is a lot of fun. But back on to Mama.
Mama.
That's unnecessary. Did you notice how her hair is cut in the trailer for that? It looks like she's actually wearing one of her Zero Dark 30 wigs. Like, she walked off set, and she's like, I'm taking this with me.
She just cut the wig. She's like,
she pocketed it.
Yeah.
Catherine Bigelow is like, I'm missing a wig.
She's like, wait a minute, where'd this go? Did somebody use it as torture? Incidentally, the release of Dread, it made a total of, hold on a second, it made $23 million in international. It made $13 million in North America total. It did not do well. So you're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Christian Dreyer Kramer. I'm kind of not. Well, you're not listening with Christian Dreyer Kramer. That's normally who's on, but it's Nicholas Herring.
Looking right at me.
I am not. I'm kind of like looking forward to Mama because it has Guillermo del Toro behind it, and so I liked what he did with Don't Be Afraid of the Dark from a producer's level. I just think this looks a little overproduced. It looks a little overly darkly designed, which can be an indicator of kind of like covering up substance with too much flash from a horror standpoint.
Yeah, I don't think having Del Toro's name attached is going to bring in much.
Well, I don't think he's going to bring in that. Much. I mean, I don't think he's diluted his name the way like Quentin Tarantino has as a producer.
Hey, the man with the Iron Fist is a national treasure. Not sure what national treasure, like what country wants to take credit for it.
Nicolas Cage is not running around trying to steal that one.
So it would have been nice if he would have been in that and been like the Fu Manchu character.
That would have been great.
Oh, what was that from? The fake trailer from Grindhouse.
Oh, yeah. Poor Nicolas Cage. Oh, anyways, what do you think is going to win the box office this weekend?
Ooh,
Do you think suddenly Dread's going to have a re-release and it's going to make tons of money?
Yeah, I think the strong Blu-ray sales are going to lead to people picketing outside theaters for Dread to be released back, so no one can go watch it there.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think The Last Stand will maybe take a weak box office win. You know, we're talking like last week, $24 million took the box office. Yeah. I don't know if we'll have another $24 million movie this weekend. I think
you sound like you're like, will we get another $200 million movie with Avengers 2? Will we get another $24 million?
With Zero Dark 30 only making $24 million last weekend, I assume that's going to drop off. So maybe a $17-18 million opening weekend for Arnold could win the box office. Yeah. I would think that's a possibility.
Oh yeah, I think I would be surprised if Zero Dark 30 makes more than $15 million.
And I don't see Gangster Squad making a huge comeback here.
No, I don't see that happen. Or Jack Reacher. Well, so what's your final number? What is your pick as the number? You say.
Last Stand with 21.
I will go with 20. So you have locked Kristen into a $21 million. Now, what's funny is if it makes exactly $21 million, she'll probably be calling you for box office predictions.
Oh, I'm keeping them myself.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, highest bidder on Who Wants My Picks then.
You know, she does make good cookies. Have you ever had her almond bars?
I don't like almonds.
I don't know what's wrong with you.
But you can send chocolate chip cookies to Kevin, and they will reach me. Probably not after.
I was about to say, I don't know. It sounds sort of dubious the way you described it. They will reach you. I'll put them in my mouth. I'll chew them up. I'll baby bird them to you.
It's better than the other way they could possibly reach me. at least they're coming out from your mouth.
I'll put it in a bag and set it on fire on your front porch. How's that sound?
Oh. So nice. That's how Mom used to make them.
Exactly. All right. Well, we're going to have to go to a break. And when we come back... we have to get a preemptive suck to Mom. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about DVDs and maybe a little bit of news if we have some time. Welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies. You're listening to Kevin Carr and Nicholas Harum. Kristen Dreyer Kramer's on vacation this week. We are going to be talking about the world-famous DVD Roundup is coming up next. Yeehaw! Yes, the whip.
I remembered.
You remember we used to do that? Yeah. Kristen usually gets very excited for that, so she makes the whipping sound. She's always, like, chomping at the bit.
And since I'm not usually here, I wasn't really sure of the procedure and sort of went into it very tentatively.
And you're not exactly excitable. Unless you're talking about PG-13 movies.
Yo.
Don't get you started. Anyways.
Disgrace.
Let's talk about some DVDs that are out. Probably the biggest one of this week is Taken 2, which you didn't like that. You went, because we went and saw it, but you wanted to go see it on the big screen, the super big Mondo.
Well, I also didn't want to sit up front in the like third row because of your cell phone issues with kids and their cell phones. I don't like the cell phones either, but I wasn't willing to sit up near the front of the screen for Taken 2, so I went to a different theater and watched it.
I like sitting close. Well, yeah, because the thing is, I always sit close because there's always somebody who takes out their cell phone and they're like, oh, who's, let me IMDb this. And it's sort of like when people,
they're not going to IMDb, let's be honest.
What are they going to?
They're going to their text messaging because they are important teenagers with important teenager things.
Or checking email. What I find interesting is if you look at the psychology of people using cell phones, they do the opposite thing for driving and at movies, and if they just did it the other way around, it wouldn't be so bad. Because if you ever notice, whenever somebody's texting and driving, they've always got it down on their lap. And that is why people get in accidents when they text and drive, because they don't even look anywhere close to the road. Whereas if you hold it up, if you're going to hold up, like you get a text message, you can hold it up and right at the steering wheel and kind of see it, and you can still have your field of vision. Well, it's not the safest thing to do.
Yeah, let's clarify. Fat Guys at the Movies is not suggesting that you text and drive in any capacity.
That's true. But no,
even
I mean,
if you are taking it out of your lap and putting it up in front of the car in front of you to text.
Well, even if it's like way back in the day, if you wanted to switch out cassettes or CDs, you pull them up and you wouldn't go and root on the side seat and not look where you're going. You'd hold up the CD and you'd make sure you got the right one and you put it there and you can look down. But that's what they do the opposite in movies. I've seen people pull out their phone and they hold it up like at eye level so the entire theater can see it, as opposed to it just holding it at the bottom and looking out. So basically what it is the mentality of Americans. I don't know if it's the way it is the rest of the world. I don't know how many Bangladeshians. Is that Bangladeshians? I don't know how many people from Bangladesh are annoying people by texting during movie theaters. In movie theaters. But it is more important for Americans to see a movie screen while they get on their cell phone and then to actually watch the road when they drive.
I guess that's just the craziness of the world we live in.
Kids
and their cell phones and possibly their drugs.
Their cell phones and their drugs and their...
Maybe they're using their cell phones to get drugs.
And their Walkman and their and their 8-track tapes. Those crazy kids.
Was there a Walkman that featured 8-track capability?
It would be enormous. It was like
you're all over the place. You said cassettes and then you said CDs and now you're on Walkman and now you're on the 8-tracks.
Yeah.
Crazy kids in their phonograph machines.
Whippersnappers. 23 Skidoo.
Edison and his crazy ideas.
Anyways, I thought Taken 2 was okay. You didn't...
I thought it was really silly, you know. Maggie Grace is running around Istanbul throwing grenades.
Yeah.
And there must be no police presence at all except for crooked police in Istanbul.
Because there is
nowhere, like, there's just... throwing grenades and no one comes to like investigate the exploding grenades.
I know when I in the movie he's like, yeah, just go to the top of the roof and throw this grenade, and you're like, really? What if there's a family down at the, you know, hey, look here. Well, we killed them, but they're not stars.
But luckily, we've now almost triangulated our location. We only need to throw two more grenades throughout the city.
They'll never find us.
To find it. Plus, the bad guy was just so ludicrously bad. You know, he kept saying, well, I'm getting my revenge because you killed my son. And it's just like, well, you did try and kidnap his daughter and sell her into sexual slavery.
Well, and you do look at it and you'd be like, you're all criminals. You see, though, and that's what I always don't like about these movies is when they have these revenge things from bad guys, like really like hardcore gangster types. They're like, You killed my son, who's like also a gangster criminal. I'm like, that's kind of just, you would imagine that'd be a hazard of the job. You know, we're film critics, and there's very little chance of us encountering a deadly force situation.
Speak for yourself, please.
Well, you know, you and your you karate in the parking lot. I've seen you do that.
Exactly.
Judo, taekwondo. I think I hit all the
sort of think Always Sunny in Philadelphia, just me in a nicer duster.
There you go. Yes. But you would imagine if you went into, like, drug dealings and kidnapping and sexual slavery, there's a high, you're probably harder to get life insurance. Your premiums are going to be higher because there's a greater chance that you're going to get your, like,
yeah, and he was just so upset, like, oh, we have 10 graves here with our family. Let's go fill up 40 more to get this one guy.
Yeah, and they didn't say we have 10 graves. Let's take up basket weaving and sell them at a festival because there's little chance that we're going to get killed on that. So
I don't know. I wish Taken 2 had just gone with let's take someone else, but maybe not his daughter or wife again.
Yep. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Nicholas Harum here. We're talking DVDs. The other one that's out is To Rome with Love, which I'm assuming you didn't see. It's the new.
I'm not a big Woody Allen fan.
Yeah, it was okay. It's a Woody Allen film. It's the problem is with Woody Allen nowadays in his life. It seems like he's taking an excuse. He's using his movies as an excuse to travel. He went to Barcelona for Vicky Christie Barcelona, and then he did. What was the last one he did?
Did he do a New York one?
Well, he did tons of New York ones.
Well,
back then,
but
then
like
did,
one specifically, like with New York in the title. Yeah, it's not Manhattan.
No. He did Manhattan. He did. There was all the ones that he did. That was in the 70s and 80s. But now he's doing the European travels. So he did one in London with like Match Point, I think, was in London, and so was Scoop and stuff like that. But now it's just like shamelessly, this is my movie to go to another. And he did, what was it, Midnight in Paris, so he could do Paris, you know. So that's out there. Woody Allen fans will probably like it. The Possession, which is not The Last Exorcism, but it could be.
I actually really liked The Possession.
I thought it was fun.
I didn't like it on, like, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
But I had an incredibly fun time watching it.
Yeah.
Because it's just pretty much the Jewish exorcist.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is that. It because it says, let's take all the creepy kid movies and we're just going to impose Judaism culture on it, and with a Dybbuk box instead of
and the parents are even stupider than most.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. Plus, you get the what's the name of the Jewish rapper?
Oh, Modest Yahoo.
Yeah, thank you.
I've met him before. He's actually really a cool guy.
Oh, I'm not taking.
Laid back. Oh no, I'm just saying, but it's neat.
I think, you know, if you say Jewish rapper, you automatically say really cool guy is like right next to him.
and he does that when he sings. He bounces back and forth, which I think is part. I don't know if that's him.
I think in an episode of The X-Files, I saw him do that same type of thing too. So I think that's part of the faith.
That's either him or is it the faith or is it the way? Because he sings like if he sings like regular songs. I guess I don't know. He did a song. I was in a radio station once when he was doing it, and he was moving back and forth. Then I started doing it, and everyone stared at me, and I felt really stupid.
Mm.
Anyways, there's also Merlin season 4 is out if you're a fan of the sci-fi show, which is not a bad little sci-fi.
It's on its last season, isn't it?
I think so. I think
so. Season five just started or is
wraps
starting
it
up.
Yeah, because Merlin season 4 is out finally. There's also 5 Broken Cameras, which was nominated for an Oscar, so you can check that one out. And then there was 30 Nights of Paranormal Activity with the Devil Inside, the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which I found ironic that it came out right after Haunted House. Neither one's a good movie.
And I would say this one's probably the lesser of the two, just because it didn't even make it to theaters.
Well, see, here's what's weird. This one actually fits together a little bit better. They're both bad films, and they're both about the same level, but they're different types of spoofs. But this one actually, the only problem is sort of the premises are like, 20 years ago, my dad killed the cast of The Artist. And you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't even make like pragmatic sense in the joke, because The Artist came out like a year and a half ago. I don't know.
I think you absolutely are, because you're trying to overthink a movie called 30 Nights of Paranormal Activity with the Devil Inside, the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
There are some breasts in it, though, so that gives it a little extra.
Well, you know, deliver on what you advertise.
There you go. There's also the stinker of the week, which is Won't Back Down, which is Maggie Gyllenhaal and Viola Davis tearing apart school teacher unions and in an absolutely failed story of a failed true story. So that one, avoid that.
Would you rather watch Lean on Me?
Lean on Me is a decent movie. Anyways, we got to go back. We got to get going. The review wrap of Broken City and Mama both get preemptive sucks because they didn't see it. Or they didn't screen it for us. The Last Sit Down, we both said it rocked.
Rocked? I think we said absolutely.
I think we actually gave that grade, but that's what we think. When we come back next week, Kristen will return and we'll talk Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters, Movie 43, and Parker. Until then, we'll talk to you later.